Father in heaven, we just give you praise, and I thank you for everybody here today. Lord, I just pray that folks' hearts are open to you, open to the Spirit of God, and the message that's been portrayed, the gospel, will soften men's hearts, and that they'll receive Jesus, walk out of here with Jesus in their hearts and in their lives. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Got a brief message I want to give, and then we'll close with some songs. But appreciate everybody today. Wonderful job with the youth and the folks that have participated in the service. And all our guests, we're glad you're here today. Hope you feel welcome and loved. I was up in Minnesota on a ministry business trip last week, and I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota. And so it was, I had some opportunity at the end of the trip to spend a day with my parents. My dad is 81 and my mom is 79. And, you know, all those trips are precious because I don't get to see them that often. So it was a very special time with them. But my dad was very emotional during this time. I don't know. I guess when you're 81, I don't know what it's like to be 81, but I guess you're thinking more about possibly going on and things. So he was very emotional, and he constantly was telling me that he loved me, he hugged me, he kissed me, told me how proud he was of me, and he was very concerned about our family and that we were taken care of and well provided for, you know. And I don't know about everybody here, I don't know what kind of father that you had. I mean, I hope you had a good father. But he was, I guess in his way, just trying to express his love for me. So it was a very emotional time. But let's just say that something happened in this country, which could happen. Maybe someone invaded the country and we were now under some other kind of rule, and maybe it came down to maybe my dad and I, or, you know, a certain situation, and they said, you know, Mr. Judd, you've got a choice here. Someone's got to give their life here to save the rest of the family. You know, my dad's 81. He says, okay, it's come down to you or Matt. I mean, someone's going to have to give their life. And I think with my dad, where he's at in his life, would easily say, you know, take me. So I'll sacrifice my life for the family, for others. You know, but in the gospel, it's something different. You know, it's a, here, Harry, come on up here. You've been involved in this service today. I'll give you one more opportunity. You know, and so, you know, in thinking about that, and, you know, even in my life here, you know, if I was thinking about that, we had that situation between two of us or in the family, you know, I've already made that choice. You're going to give your life. No. No, I've already made that choice. I'll give my life. I've already made that, you know.
You better.
You better. You know, but I think about God and what he did, and he gave his only son. And, you know, I mean, I just can't imagine the love that someone would have to do that. I mean, the love that someone would have. And I just tell you, I mean, I love you, but I wouldn't give my son for you. Yeah. Is that good news, Harry?
That's good news.
Amen. And not only does God love you, but Jesus loves you, because the Bible says there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. And that's very interesting that it says that, because lay down your life for your friends. And God desires the whole world to be saved. That means he's calling saint and sinner alike his friend. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? The love that God has, even when people have gone against his word and against his principles, he loves them and calls them his friend. We all know John 3:16. This shows the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is what Christmas is about. It's about God giving his son and what this son became. God gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world. That's not what God's about, condemning people, making them feel bad, but that the world through him might be saved. God's interested in people being saved. And so Christmas is celebrating the birth of our Savior and about the great love of our Heavenly Father that he has for everybody, whether you're a believer or not. And this child grew up and he became a man. And he healed the sick, and he raised the dead, and he came and represented what God was like to the world. He came to bring grace and truth and to show people what that grace and truth was really like. And it wasn't about condemning people. It wasn't about being mad at people and being angry at sin and all that. It wasn't about that. He showed what God was really like. But here's a good question. Because, you know, we call Jesus the Savior, the Redeemer. He's the mediator between God and man. Why do we need a Savior? Well, Nate, come on up here. You look like you're... Jose, can you come up here? Come on up here. And let's see, who's better? You can be God.
Okay.
And Jose, because of your life, you're going to be the man and the sinner. Is that okay? No. Okay. But things started off. Put your arms around. Yeah, isn't that sweet? Photo op. Things started off this way between God and man, but because of what happened in the garden, separation occurred. Sorry, guys, this little love fest you got going. But actually, what it's like is that's the way God is, Nate, like that. But Jose is basically got his back turned to God, and you see the separation here, and there's a separation and. That separation, when someone dies, there's only two places that a person can go, is heaven or hell. And what hell is, I mean, it talks about hell being hot and all that, and it is that, what the Bible says it is. But the problem with hell is the separation between the Father's love and man. So why do we need a Savior? Why do we need a Redeemer, a Mediator? Because Jesus came to bridge this gulf. Jesus came to connect. I had been recently just in the situation I was working in. I was working with a mediator. And what the mediator did is he brought the two parties together. He reconciled them. And Jesus is our mediator. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. Meaning God sent Jesus in the world to save man, to reconcile man to God. Why? Because God wants to have a family. He wants as many people in his family as possible. And so he wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says in John 14, verse 6, this is Jesus saying this, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I get to be Jesus. And so this is how the connection is made. And again, God desires everybody to be a part of his family. And the enemy is stealing, killing, and destroying, doing everything he can to keep this separation alive. He wants as many in his kingdom at the end. And he doesn't want any in God's kingdom. And nothing that man can do can connect him to God. Not religion, not good works, not philosophy, nothing he can do to earn reconciliation with the Father. Although the Father wants to be reconciled, he loves his creation. But there's this gulf there, you know, between the two. And that's why we have Jesus. That's why we have Christmas. That's why we have Easter. That's why we need a Savior to reconcile the two. I love what Ephesians 2 says. It further talks about, you know, how man can't earn this reconciliation. Because this reconciliation, what it means is, first of all, man gets to go to heaven and spend eternity with God forever. And if that's all there was, that would be awesome. When we died, we go to be with God, we go to heaven. But also, God promises us an abundant life here on the earth, and there's an inheritance that when we become in Christ, when we receive Jesus, when we're saved or born again, however you don't want to say it, you receive an earthly inheritance as well. Peace, joy, provision, healing. I mean, the list goes on. We preach about it here at Good News Church. It's good news. Good news while you're here and good news after you die. We don't need to be afraid of death. Heaven is our home, and I could do a whole big message on heaven right now, but it's good. It's a good place. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have grace on God's end. He's extending that grace towards man. It's unmerited favor. It's favor that man doesn't deserve. Now, on man's end, he can't earn it. So what does he do to receive this grace, to receive this inheritance, to receive heaven? All right, Jose, you can turn, man. Woo! Getting there, man. Almost there. On man's part, and this is where people have a hard time with it. It's hard to get your mind wrapped around it. Man receives that grace through faith. Faith is believing in something you cannot see. And it seems so simple, and it doesn't really seem fair to people based on good works and bad works and all of that. But you can't be bad enough not to earn heaven, and you can't be good enough to earn heaven. It's by grace, and it's by faith and by believing. And so there may be someone here today, maybe you're in this situation, maybe for whatever reason, you know, sin is just missing the mark. And we've all done that. But sin, you know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin separates us from God. But thank God today we do have a Savior. His name is Jesus. He came to save the world. He came to reconcile the world. He came to bring God and man together. He came to bring so the Father's heart could be with His family. And so we receive it by faith. And Romans 10 tells us how to receive this great salvation. Romans 10 verse 8 says this. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. This is faith. This is faith. Believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. You will be saved. Everybody say saved.
Saved.
Everybody say salvation is good. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew, the guy that goes to church, and the Greek, the guy that doesn't go to church. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon his name. God is rich. God wants to pour out his blessings for all of eternity. Not only in this life, but the next. Whoever, this seems so easy. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, hey, Jose, call upon the name of the Lord. Just say Jesus.
Jesus.
All right, guys, let's bring it together. That's the gospel. That's good news. That's not hard. We make it hard. Religion makes it hard. But you can't earn it. And your sin won't cause you to be rejected. Some people feel like I've done the unpardonable thing. God will never forgive me. He will. He loves you. He's for you. He wants. What a perfect time to receive his good news today. To receive Jesus. So every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward today. We do that sometimes, but today we're not going to do it. And I won't even recognize you, but I want to know who today wants to pray with me about this. You know, we ask people when we go out in the streets and minister, and we minister to different people. We say, if you were to die today or 100 years from now, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And I ask you that question today. And either you know right away, yes, I know, absolutely. And how do you know? Because of the Word. Because you've already called upon the name of the Lord. But if you haven't done that, today's your day. Today is a perfect day to receive Him. And to ask Him in your heart. And He wants to come in. And He's not going to come in and condemn you and beat you up. He's not going to take anything from you. He just wants to add to your life. He wants to bless you. And so I just ask you, I plead with you today. I beg you today, open your hearts to Him today. Receive. Don't be afraid. Just be bold. Step out today and receive Him as your Lord, and you'll never regret it. I've been walking with Him for 30 years at a point in my life when I was ready to end it. And I received Him, and He's changed my life. And it just gets better and better. Sure, there's problems and situations. You know, life's not perfect. But, it, you know, is walking with Him and going through things with Him. He's real. He's in me. He helps me. He helps me overcome. And He's no respecter of persons. What He's done for me, He'll do for you. So it's simple today. And I'll lead you in a prayer to receive Him as your Lord. But if you're here today and you want me to pray with you, you want to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. You want to know for sure that you're reconciled to God. You want to know for sure that you're in God's family. If that's you, just signify by raising your hand and say, "Yes, Pastor, pray with me today." I see a hand here. Hold your hand up. Another hand here. Who else? Just be bold. Just be bold. Another hand over here. Thank you so much for those that have raised their hand. You can put it down. Others, though, today's your day. Today's your day. Don't walk out of here not knowing Jesus. He's so good. He's so loving. He's for you. He'll help you. He'll empower you. Anybody else? Another hand here. Who else? Another hand here. Who else? Just be bold. Don't be afraid. How do you know? Well, your heart's probably thumping. It's beating. You're afraid. Another hand right here. Who else? Another hand right here. Praise God. Who else? Another hand right here. Who else? Praise God. Your heart's ready to explode. Just be bold. Put that hand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Another hand here. Okay. Everybody look up here. And let's you just stay seated because we're going to do some more music here. But I want to pray with you. I want you to know this Jesus. I want you to receive Him today. He's so good. And we're all going to pray together. It's a simple prayer. But I want you to know when you pray this and you mean this from your heart, because you repeat after me, but you pray it from your heart, God's going to come into you. And the Bible says that you become a new nature. Your spirit is actually changed from a sin nature to a new creation alive in God. The very life of God comes in you. Isn't that amazing? So awesome. And I want to encourage you, find a good church. This is a good one here, but find a good church. We encourage people to meet Jesus for the first time. Start reading the Gospel of John. And then and the other people that you know that maybe have been praying for you, that know about Jesus, and you got questions, ask them. Ask me. Ask Eddie here. And we'll try to answer your question. And if we don't, we'll make something up. No, we won't do that. But everybody, let's pray this from our hearts. Y'all want to pray this?
Yes.
Let's pray this from our hearts. Say, Father in heaven,
you are so good.
You are a loving Heavenly Father. And you love me. And you love me so much. You sent your Son Jesus to live, to die, to be raised on the third day for me. So I can be reconciled to you. So my sins can be wiped away. I'm forgiven. Heaven's my home. The abundant life is my destiny.
I believe you raised Jesus from the dead.
And I confess Jesus is my Lord.
Therefore, according to your promises,
I'm saved.
I'm
your child.
I'm in your family.
Your inheritance is mine.
Right now.
Show me your plan.
For my life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this may not be dignified, but how about someone who just said, what?